Today's Tanya for the 7th of Shvat, Zayin Shvat, is at the beginning of Perek Chof Aleph. It's on page 52, and the number at the bottom of the page is 88. The Alter Rebbe is explaining the concept of Achdus Hashem, that even after the world was created, there is no change in the exclusive existence and the exclusive reality of God. Even after the world came into being, only God exists, and the world is non-existent because of its insignificance being created out of a spoken word, and the spoken word is insignificant compared to the emotions and to the intellect from which they come. What needs to be explained is that although we've understood that the spoken word, the dibur, is bottled completely and as if it doesn't exist at all compared to the higher levels, but if we don't compare it to the higher levels, if we take it on its own level, the speech, the word of God, does seem to be significant and therefore can't be dismissed as non-existent. So where is the bittul and where is the exclusive Achdus Hashem on the level in which the speech itself exists and is not being compared to what is above it? Perek Chof Aleph. V'hine midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheloken midas basar v'dam. By the Eibishter, the midas that we describe in human terms are not similar to the human characteristic. Sheha'odam kishemedaber dibur, when a person speaks, harei hevel hadibur shebepiv hu murgash v'nireh davar b'fnei atzmei. When a person says something, the breath of that spoken word is tangible, it's palpable, and it appears to be a separate entity, moved on mishalshe, separated from its source, shehein esa b'chinas hanefesh atzma, which are the 10 powers of the soul. As described earlier, a thought or a spoken word are an expression of either the emotions of the heart or the intellect of the mind, which are the 10 powers of the soul. So when a person speaks, one of the characteristics of speech is that the spoken word is separated, is disconnected from its origin, and that's why speech is lower than thought, because thought remains connected and internal to the person, whereas speech is disconnected. Again, not as disconnected as action is, but still the uniqueness, the change that takes place between thought and speech is that in thought the person is still connected to himself, whereas in speech he is disconnected from himself. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein diburei muvdo mimene yizbari chas v'sholem, but with God his speech does not separate itself from him, God forbid, ki ein davar chutz mimeno v'les asar ponim minei, because there is nothing outside of God and there is no place devoid of him. So that on all levels there is no place in which the speech can go where it would be separated from God, and there is no level, no matter how low, there is no level or no place where God is not present. V'lochein ein diburei yizbarech ki dibureinu chas v'shalom. God's speech is not like our speech. Just as God's thought is not like our thought, although we use the same word to describe it, yet they are not the same. As it says concerning thought, my thoughts are not your thoughts, God says. And what is the difference? Etc. And the end of the verse is, just as my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So the difference between God's thought and human thought is that God's thought is of a completely higher category, a completely higher quality than is ours. And the same is true with God's speech. Unlike our speech, when a person speaks and says a word, the breath and the word get separated from him, to the degree where he is no longer in control of it. It's outside of him. Whereas in God's speech, the speech never leaves him. It is always within him and not separated from him. Now the question becomes, if God's speech doesn't have the characteristics of speech, then why do we use the word speech to describe it? When we use a human term, Dibra Teira Kaloshim B'nei Adam, that Teira describes things in human language, but in describing something by using a human term, you're at least describing some similarity. But if we say that God's speech is not at all like our speech in that which makes speech unique and different from other things, then why do we use speech to describe this phenomenon at all? So the Alter Rebbe will explain that there's another characteristic, another property of speech, which is the reason and the purpose of describing this activity in God by using the word speech. The reason that God's speech is called speech is only al derech moshul, k'meisha dibur hatachtin sheba adam, hu megale l'sheimi mashayetzofen v'nelem b'machshavtin. Another property of speech is that that which was hidden inside the mind of the person so that other people couldn't know what he was thinking, through speech, that which is hidden in thought is brought out and revealed for others to hear. So speech has two properties. One is that it expresses an idea or a feeling out from the person to where it separates from the person, so that the speech is no longer one with the person. The other characteristic is that that which was concealed and not heard or known becomes revealed and heard. So when we refer to God's speech as speech, we're not describing that property of speech which separates the word from its origin, from the speaker. Rather, we're describing speech as a form of revelation where God reveals himself and makes himself known. That's called speech. As the Rebbe will give an example, when God reveals himself to a prophet, to the Navi, so we call this the word of God. God spoke to the Navi. And what we see here is that certainly in revealing himself to the Navi, God is not severing himself, separating himself from his words. The words reveal God, which is the whole purpose of a prophecy, is to make godliness known to the prophet. So what the meaning of the word speech is in this context is that God makes himself known through the speech, not separates himself in speech, and reveals through the speech that which was concealed prior to the revelation. Kach l'mayla bein sev baruch hu, when the life and the light from God comes from its concealment and becomes revealed to create worlds and to give life to those worlds, that revelation is nikra b'shem dibur. That's what we're referring to when we use the word dibur. The hein hein asara maimodes, and those revelations are described as the ten utterances shebahem nivra ha'olam, with which God created the world. V'chein shar kol ha'teira neviyim uksubim shehisigu ha'neviyim b'mara nevuasam. The same is true also with the rest of Teira and of neviyim and of ksubim, that which the prophets understood in their vision of prophecy. All of this is called speech in that it is a revelation, God making himself known to the world. So with God, unlike human speech, God remains united and connected with his words and with his thought, because to some level, to some degree, in human beings, the thought is also not really connected to the soul. So with God, the speech and the thought remain united with Him. How can we understand this? Where do we find an example for it in the physical? Derech mashal kamei diburei machshavti shel adam be'edan b'keyach hachmasi v'sichlei. When a person's speech and thought are still within his chachma, within the intelligence, a bechuk of a chemda shebelibe, or it is still within the emotion, the desire, kaidim she'olso mehalev l'meyach l'harhibo, before it rises from the heart to the mind to become a thought, v'bechinas acas, and then it would be clothed and contained within the letters of thought, she'oz hoyu acas ha'machshav v'adibur hazeh. Because then the letters of thought and speech, hanimshoches mechemdo chukazu bekeach belev umiyuchadeshan betachlis hayichud, there the letters were united completely with the thought, and the thought was united completely with the emotion, and the emotion was united with the knowledge. It was all one. The tachlis hayichud b'sharshan, they were all united in their source. Shehein, what is the source? Hachachma v'seichol shebemeach, v'chemdo chuka shebelev, the intellect and the emotion, which is the original source and root and the beginnings of both speech and thought. There, the letters and the words of speech and thought are completely absorbed in the emotion and in the knowledge, which will later be expressed in these words and in these thoughts. But at this point, while they are still contained within their source, they are completely united and absorbed with the emotion and the intellect. And so it is with God. Even after God's speech is actual, it still remains absorbed within Him. In the human being, the letters remain absorbed within him, but they pay a price. They can't at the same time be active. Once they're active, they're no longer absorbed within him. That's the limitation, the finiteness of the human being. But in God, the letters and the words of both spoken and thought can be at the same time active and yet remain completely absorbed and united with Him. So that even after the world comes into existence on the level of speech, still the speech is so absorbed and so united with their source that they remain a non-existence. They don't take on an existence of their own, so that the oneness of God is now the result of two conditions. First of all, that the entire existence of the world comes from speech, which is totally insignificant compared to the higher levels, and therefore from God's perspective, it brings no change because there is no significance to it that would change God's condition or God's status in existence. And secondly, even from the perspective of the created world, even from the perspective of the letters, the words that create the world, those letters are completely absorbed in their source, never having left their source. And therefore, even in their own experience, even on their level, not only compared to the higher levels, even on the level of speech, there is a total bittul and a total insignificance, which again brings the conclusion that there is nothing besides God. In the Hayyim Yayim for the 7th of Shvat, the Rebbe writes that when the Alter Rebbe was 9 years old, he studied mathematics and astronomy. At 10 years old, he organized a 15-year calendar. And when he was 12 years old, he happened to be teaching publicly the laws of Kiddush HaChedesh from the Rambam, and the scholars, the sages who were there in the Beis Medrash at the time, couldn't relate at all and couldn't keep up with what the Alter Rebbe was saying.